1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ speaking on the night before he was crucified. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
We certainly have everyone in mind, those who have traveled to be with us. We're mindful of our students, which this is finals week, and we certainly are praying for you and pray that you'll have a good success this week. That was the one part of my school back in the ancient days when I went to school. Finals week was not my favorite thing. And so this morning, though, we're going to be talking about other things, eternal things. My lesson is titled, "How is Your Memory?" And I want to talk about the power of a memory that is properly developed and trained before our God. It can pretty well be said that everything that we experience in life could be categorized into two areas, and that is memory and testimony. Memory are the things that we've personally experienced. Testimony is something that others have experienced and told us. And by the way, we analyze that and accept it, then it becomes part of our memory. And the very fact that we know that Jesus was raised from the dead, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, we see there were witnesses. We are witnesses of all things he did. And we basically see that what the Lord wanted the witnesses to do in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and dead. There's testimony, there's memory. How about our memory? You know, we learn to accept and reject testimony. But how about our memories? Not every memory is perfect. Sometimes our senses can be distorted and we think we've seen something and remember something that's not accurate. Sometimes our memories can fade and become different. It's interesting how I remembered the school that I went into elementary school, what it was like. And then I go back as an adult, I'm going, whoa, this is very different. Now, because I've grown probably has something to do with the change of reality. But memories are very valuable, very important. Memory alone may not give an accurate picture of reality. There are things that I remember seeing and felt about, and then as I gained wisdom, I looked back in that and went, oh, that's what happened. And so while memory is a tool, it is valuable, it still has to be analyzed and nurtured. And there's a part tonight we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about how we view the present, and particularly how we view God in light of the things that happen to us, can really bless us in having a memory that will later give us strength. And so memories, we've read in 1 Corinthians 11 this morning about remembering the Lord's Supper. That's going to be the last point in the lesson. But let's talk about memory. How does memory help us? We're going to talk about two groups of people in the beginning here. Somebody that's a Christian, somebody that's not a Christian. Someone who knows God, sees God in their life, someone who really doesn't know there is a God, and they're kind of living, you know, by the seat of their pants, by the best they can, and not knowing very much. Your memory has a lot to do with your current thinking process. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's the problem. If we are not found in the Lord, our thinking can be very messed up. There are good things we can hate. There are bad things we can love. If you get yourself involved with excessive fear or excessive anger, you can get yourself in an emotional state where you have something that you ought to experience as something good. You could view it as bad. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, "For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." There are a lot of forces in this world, brethren, that want to shut your thinking down. As I suggested earlier, they want to inject you with emotion. And they give you half-truths. You see that in the media. You see that in politics. You see that, unfortunately, in academics. You have a lot of things that are thrown out there, and they don't want you to think. You can go with the flow. And you'll view the world in a certain way. Have you ever heard of the term worldview? That is actually some presuppositions that people come up with how you view the world, and it's not even based on evidence. I want to choose freedom. I want to be free to think. I want to be free to have my eyes open. I would like to be able to reason and to be patient and learn. You got to choose that. And if you choose that, your memories of the events that you experience can be very rich. You know, as you go through the preaching of the gospel, there was powerful, incontrovertible evidence. It could not be explained away. It is powerful that Jesus is the Son of God. You have the eyewitness testimony. You have the miracles worked by those with eyewitness testimony. You have the persuasion of those who could reason from prophecy. But as you go through the book of Acts, as you see today in our lives, two different people see the same evidence. One stands and is strong, and the other is a scoffer. In Acts 13, beginning in verse 44, it says, On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Notice, here is evidence, but what they saw, if I accept this evidence, the Gentiles are going to come in, and I don't want that envy trumped thinking. And you see that later, Acts 14. Now it happened in Iconium that they were together and then to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of the Greeks, believed. There's a lot of people seeing this evidence. They thought, they weighed, this is where I want to go. But now notice another group, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Do you realize that someone can say a lie and tell a story about someone else who's presenting evidence? And if you're not thinking, if you accept, you know, slander without an investigation, you can shut down that which you really ought to know. And that's the nature of politics, isn't it? Oh my. Rather than reason about a subject, we want to attack the character of a person. And I'm telling you, that is just permeates our society, and it can change us. That's, I really believe the modern day politics are a threat to the church in the terms of how they go about trying to convince others. It's not evidence, it's shortcut. It's anger, bitterness, envy, poisoning minds. And so for us, again, we're not going to change politics. We're talking about building memories. Your condition of heart is going to say a lot about the kind of memories you have and how you experience life. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in John 5 and verse 42. He says, "But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you." I pray we've got that in common. If the love of God is in us, we don't have to be the dog-eat-dog world. In this context, they wanted to praise one another, receive honor. They wanted to climb the ladder. No, I want God. I want to be a servant of God. That is your attitude and my attitude. We can think. But if it's something else, then I'll tell you, you can experience the same thing another person experiences, and you're going to have a very different memory of it. In verse 44, it says, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" Later on, he talked about the evidence from Moses. "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Let me talk to you a little bit about memory. We are our memories, okay? Our attitudes right now, our emotions right now, our thinking right now, Our our motives right now is just a compilation of memories. Now, it could be memories guided by God's word, memories that for which we draw conclusions about and we reason about. One of the biggest problems we face as far as our future is, how do we build memories? We're getting to the holidays, and later on in the lesson, I'm going to talk about that. A lot of memories come back. We have a spaghetti that we have that the vet cooks as her mother's spaghetti, and we have this bay leaf in it. And if you get the bay leaf, you've got to do the dishes. Now, that's a family tradition, and we think of Anna LaRue when we do that. And no one's ever had to do the dishes, by the way. I've gotten the bay leaf a few times, you know. But anyway, I'd do it if they asked me, but, you know. But anyway, it's a tradition. But it's interesting how there are things that we can remember that can be very strong, very good for us. But what if you're a negative person? The person who almost thinks everything bad's going to happen to me and they're down on everything. They've built memories in a certain way too. Let's make sure we see clearly. And so let's consider an incident. Let's suppose it was called a hearing. I'm not sure what to call it. It was done in the Senate in the confirmation of our recent Supreme Court justice. And imagine if that was you going through that, and let's say these people slandered you. How would you remember that? Let's take this. Let's say you went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court told you not to speak what you know, and they publicly beat you. What kind of memory would you have of that event? Well, the worldly person, their life would be altered and they would be negative and they likely would always have that on their mind and they probably wouldn't want to ever go in front of those people again and they would just be beaten down and I'd understand that. But let me show you some men that experienced this and they had a very different memory of the event. And that's the apostles. The apostles who had seen Jesus crucified, the apostles who had seen Jesus raised from the dead, the apostles who now remembered that Jesus said, you're going to be suffer, you're going to be taken before people, you're going to be beaten, they already knew what to expect. In Acts 5:33, when they came before them, in the second occasion, it says, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. And in Acts 5:40, it says, they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I don't know what degree of beating they had, but if it was a typical Jewish flogging, it was 39 stripes. You would be wounded, you would be bleeding, you would feel this for months, if not the rest of your life. What's your memory of that event? You see, they knew they were fulfilling God's purpose. They saw God in it. Jesus prepared them for it. Look at verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Do you see the different reactions to this event? Christian, there is a way for us to build our memories, where difficult things can end up becoming glorious. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, let me make a few comments here. Brethren, the apostles weren't always strong, okay? I'm not telling you that somehow the moment you become a Christian and somebody does something bad to you and you have some bad event, that somehow you'll rejoice in that and jump up and down and say, oh, this is wonderful. No, that's not what I'm saying. Jesus worked with these apostles for 3.5 years and they had lots of failures. Matter of fact, it was just a few years earlier when Jesus was taken and arrested and they weren't prepared. They didn't want in any form or fashion to go before this council. In John 20:19, it says that same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. If Jesus had not appeared to them, they would have been scaredy cats hiding, not knowing what happened. You see, there's a spiritual growth in this. The development of strong memories are directly related to our attachment to God's word and God's promises and the presence of God and spiritual maturity. But later, boy, first time they called them before the Sanhedrin, they weren't cowards going to hide them behind their doors anymore. In Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Do we see the hand of God in our lives? Now I recognize as we talk about God's providence that we can't always be certain. We can say perhaps, maybe, but I will tell you, I look back in my life, I very strongly believe my God has taken care of me, provided for me, done me good, allowed me to go through difficult times that I might come out stronger. And before you can really have that understanding of God in your life, you've got to know Him. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of hope, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's evidence for God. If you haven't yet really developed strong conviction, there is a God. There's evidence. But once you know God, know there is a God, the second part in this, we take the rest of our lives in this. We've got to know God's character. God is present today. Do you know that? No, what I mean by that, not that you know that as a fact, but does that become part of your conscience? And you can just go to God right now. God, it's like He's sitting next to you. Lord, help me. Lord, you see what I'm saying? There is a development of God's knowledge. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's a growth element here. God's been good to all men. And one thing I am so thankful for is Romans 5. I became to really know what God is like in the cross. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know God loves you and me individually? Do we know that every day? Is that a motivating factor at the beginning of our day and during our day? And when something happens to us, both good and bad, do we think about God? That is the challenge. One of the things I'm talking about here is thankfulness. If you really want to develop this concept of God, be thankful to Him for everything. The psalmist in Psalms 103, here's one of the Psalms of David. And by the way, you know, David's memories, by the way, you know how David was courageous? He went back in his past. He fought a lion. He fought a bear. He was ready to fight Samson. Listen to David. A Psalm of David, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Two people have a memory. One person sees God. Maybe there's something bad happened to them. The worldly person goes, well, this life has no meaning, and boy, this is just it. You know, life's not much, and they just have this bitterness and anger. But then somebody who's been hurt that's a Christian, they said, God comforted me. God helped me. Even though this thing was taken from me, it's nothing compared to what I have in eternity. Ah, memories. If you want to develop a greater knowledge of God, major in thanksgiving. here God is asked to remember. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. When Jesus went to the cross, how did he stay on the cross? You ever thought about that? If Jesus had 1 second of weakness, 1 second where he would say, let me down from the cross, release the angels, wipe these people out, 1 second, we wouldn't be here today. In Psalms 22, we read about the thinking of Jesus. When he was suffering, he looked out. It appeared as if he was forsaken. He looked at himself. He appeared as if he was a worm and not a man. But here are the thoughts that held him on the cross. Notice, he remembered God. He remembered past events of other people. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Then he remembered his own life. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. When I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. The God-centered person views everything differently. When one person is brought to the sideline, the other one says, God, you carried me through it. God, you helped me. God, I grew in this. So you see, our memories can be a source of great strength or one that weakens. And could I say this? Your ability to worship has a lot to do with your memories. As you pour out what is in your heart. Now let's talk about spiritual growth. A couple of more points and then the lesson will be yours. Come with sections. Psalms 119:11, it says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I don't want to repeat our Bible class, but 2 Peter 1:13-15 is pretty good where Peter says, listen, this is why I'm writing this to you. I want you to remember. I hope I won't discourage any of you engineering students. But do you know I don't remember any of my differential equations class that I took back in 1974? I couldn't tell you the first thing about it. And of course, a lot of people, they graduate from college and say, I'm not sure what I learned, what it had to do with what I ended up doing. Probably it proves to you you can think and can work and you're disciplined, you know. But it's interesting. There's just a lot of things I don't remember. When I was a kid, I used to love to watch, and this is showing how old I was. This is the 1960s, okay? This is really ancient time. They still had TV back then. But there was a TV show called The Galloping Gourmet. You know why I loved to watch him as a kid? I liked to see what he cooked and imagine what it was like to eat it. Now, he had recipes and things like that. I didn't care about any of that because I was never going to do it. What do you remember? Depends on how serious you are. I love some of the readings that I've been able to do with some of you recently and others. It's fascinating. The more you read a book, the more things jump out at you. You go like, I didn't remember. Wow, see connections. Look at Luke 24. Here after Jesus was raised from the dead, it says, he is not here, an angel speaking to the two individuals. It says, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Remember how Jesus said, hey everybody, I'm going to die. And it goes right over the apostles. They remembered the words, but they didn't understand it. But guess what? Later, they keep serving the Lord. The light bulb comes on. And they go, oh yeah. If they had never been with Jesus or ever heard Jesus speak, this wouldn't have helped them. John 2:22. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this to them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Can I tell you something about Bible study? You're not going to get it the first time in a lot of cases. You're going to read things. There's some things you get. There's some things you don't get. And sometimes there's some things you don't get. And you don't know you haven't, you know, you missed it. You know, it's fascinating the nature of Scripture. The more you read, the more you study, light bulbs come on all the time. Bible study is great. It's stimulating to the one who's serious. John 12:16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Your memory. Brethren, put God first. Not because somebody's pushing you, browbeating. You've got to make a decision for you, for what's best for you. And there's something about that point in time when you are determined to make faith your own and the light bulb comes on of how differently you handle the Word of God when it's opened. In James 1:23, it says, "But if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Now, I realize I could be creating guilt here. Maybe you hardly opened up your Bible and you're a Christian. You have a weak faith. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. But take the next step. Become more passionate about study. You will never regret this. Now, how do you become passionate about it? Well, verse 25, here's what you got to do. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." You got to have a life of repentance. It is fascinating as you go down this path. Hard times. Brethren, you, particularly your students, you guys with having a degree from Auburn University, most of you are end up going to probably do pretty well financially. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having money. But please don't let that be the core of what makes you you. Let your esteem and let your purpose be found in God. And as you start serving the Lord, remember what Jesus said to his apostles. And it's going to be true with disciples as well. John 15:20, "Remember the word that I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my word, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." Jesus says, remember. Remember who you are. Remember where you're going. This society will not like you and me. Okay? Understand it. We represent something this society doesn't want a part of. They don't understand it. If they did, everybody would want to become a Christian. If everybody understood the nature of God and the blessing of God, everybody would become a Christian. But Satan blinds them. What do? When bad things happen? As a Christian, how do we choose to respond to that? Now, you can respond evil for evil. You can respond in despair and depression and say God has forsaken you and given up on you and you can go into a hole. You can respond in bitterness and cynicism and just not trust anybody, not trust anything. Or you can do this. Philippians 1:29, it says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Do you notice that? God's gift to you. Are you ready for this gift? You know, sometimes you know, what is it? On Christmas, you got the lump of coal and the switches, you know, you joke about kids getting that. Well, how about the Lord's gift to you is suffering? I know some parents in this audience are thankful that suffering was given to their children. It was the thing that brought them up. In my life, some of the greatest times I remember spiritually is when I wasn't making enough money to pay the bills. And I was isolated and alone and really kind of felt like I was nowhere. There's suffering when it's handled with God's presence can be a great blessing. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Now, here's a great verse. Thank you, Brad, for the singing. You hit a bunch of points today that I was going to teach on. God, if we remember God, are you ready for this? He will remember us. And you know what I want more than anything? I want God to remember me in this life, and I want God to remember me at the judgment day where my name is spoken and he doesn't turn red and shake his head in shame. Where he would say to me, I never knew you. As we suffer for him, listen to what God says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I want my God to remember me. Do you see my point? This is really the essence of the lesson. How do we view our past? How do we make memories? How do we view this day? You know, I've been at deathbeds of Christians. And I've been amazed. They knew they were going to die. They were facing death. And next thing you know, I became the source of their attention. How are you doing? And they're such a positive outlook. There's a great power in building your life this way. And so, God gives us promises, exceeding great and precious promises. You go back to the passage of Romans 8, 18. Not only do I know that God is with me now, there is an eternal glory. I pray that each of you will come to understand the term glory, the glory of God. God gives us promises. I want us to imagine the finish line and Jesus Christ being there to receive us. I want us to imagine the idea of God praising us and receiving us. The glory of God has to be the daily passion for us. It'll change how we view everything. Romans 8, 18, one more time. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Our thoughts, our minds, our hopes. We're entering into some of the sports fields, I think it's football, where there's the championship and the playoffs and the bowl games. And successful teams, whether they be sports teams, whether they be businesses, whether they be a school year, maybe it's a bit of a great illustration right now. If you could get the grade, you know, you got the suffering with the finals. There's something about looking back at the time of suffering where you've been able to achieve something. That suffering becomes a glory. In Hebrews 10:32, now sometimes, brethren, it may be there was a time in our life we were fired up and we suffered and we spoke out, and now maybe we've changed. Notice in this context, if you've fallen away from that type of attitude, remember where you once were. Notice the context. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. I look back at my days struggling, filled with doubt and struggle, but I was trying to memorize Scripture. I look back at that time with glory. I look back at that time of when it was difficult, of a time of great spiritual growth, and you can have your own story here. Same approach. Quickly, let's just bring the lesson together to some common things we talk about. We, this morning, did this. We had the bread, the fruit of the vine. They were so well done today. Thought this was well done today. Very good job. Thank you. But let me ask you, did you remember? How did you remember? Did you know we can improve how we remember? There's so many ways to get here. There's a lot of verses we can meditate on. But I hope above all things that we haven't forgotten what the cross means to us personally. If we ever get to the point when we are kind of indifferent to the truth that we've been forgiven, we're not in a good place. The Lord's Supper should always have meaning for us because we know what He did for us. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 9, it says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." You know what happens when we don't remember correctly in worship? If we don't remember correctly, our memories can weaken us. Now, people who aren't converted, worship services is something you gotta grit your teeth and hold your tongue, you know, just let's get through this. Jesus reacts to people who are lukewarm. He's sick of them too. He says, "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." What does he want? He wants people to be zealous and repent. Let's talk about worship. What happens if we got through the Lord's Supper? If the singing is something we do and maybe we're more concerned about who's around us and who sees us and how well the song leader does or doesn't do. What happens to us if we come here this morning and our minds have not been renewed? 1 Corinthians 11:29 says this, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner," now how do you do that? Well, it keeps telling us, "eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Worship is work. And if we are not worshiping as we ought to, we need to build greater memories. We need to go back to the cross. We need to really understand what was done. We need to see our forgiveness. Verse 30. "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If there ever comes a time you or I fall away, the first place to look is your worship. And then you need to look at how you built your life and your memories. When it comes to the football team who's made sacrifices to win some championship or some other sports team, you look back and you understand this. Your faith's got to cost you in order to be joyful. And if your faith doesn't cost you, if my faith does not cost me, I find that it's not very happy. It's just not fulfilling. Only that which cost us something will have value." I did say that was the last point. One more point for families. We got it. Family memory. The article in the bulletin, the front page article, relates to this. Parents, please get a hold of it. Read it. Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Our children will remember us. What will they remember? I hope one day my children will see me faithfully crossing the finish line of faith. My son Stephen ran a marathon a few weeks ago, and he was telling me he kind of wanted to let up at the end. He was trying to break a certain time for the marathon, and he says, "Dad, I heard your voice in my head, and I didn't quit." I enjoyed that. That was encouraging. Yeah, he heard my voice in his head. And that's a great race. I enjoyed that, hearing that. But you know what's more important? While I'm here and when I'm gone, I want them to remember and hear my voice in good things. Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." It is my prayer that voice will be in their memories as well. Brethren, we're all making memories together. Let's make it in the Lord. Let's make it where it'll make us strong. If you're not a Christian this morning, we urge you to respond to Him. That forgiveness is offered to you freely. You've got to repent. You've got to be serious about serving the Lord. The Lord will freely forgive you if you will confess His name as the Son of God. We'll baptize you and is symbolic of His death, burial, and resurrection, to be raised in newness of life, to baptize you for the forgiveness of sins. Don't stay in a halfway mode. If you're a Christian, needs to repent. That's what Revelation said. Revelation 3, John, be zealous and repent. Let's get serious. And every day you'll make memories. It's like building that wall that can make you stronger and stronger and stronger. If we can assist you in any way, would you come as we stand and say?